I'm a fugitive from a chain gang. Some people have never even heard of the film, and it's it's such an important, I mean, the whole chain gang system was completely demolished because of the impact. I mean, Warner Brothers was saved because of this film. Like, this is a very important, pivotal time period, not only in the country, but in the face of film as we know it. Can you talk a little bit about picking that choice? Because that's a very unique choice.
Yeah, I mean, you're very astute to, you know, everything you said. I totally agree with. I mean, first of all, it's one of my favorite films ever made. And when you look at a movie like Chain Gang that is from the early 30s, if you're going to find the sort of parallel period in American cinema that sort of best mirrors the 1930s and the early 30s before all the codes came into effect, you know, Hays Commission, Catholic Legion, Decency, all that, after 1935, it would be the 1970s movies are a lot like the early 1930s movies, right? They're very similar in their sort of, you know, sort of frank, I mean, absolutely direct, unflinching portrayal of what they thought was, you know, a real social ill in this country. And so the fact that art, which is influenced by life, I mean, the guy was a real story of a real guy who was at large when this film was produced, Robert Burns. I mean, he sold his story, and he was a fugitive. Twice he escaped from the Georgia chain gang. So, I mean, here you have, like, a true story that then becomes this, you know, blockbuster movie. And you're right, it was literally a blockbuster. I mean, Warner Brothers really scored, you know, Grand Slam home runs with The Jazz Singer and with this movie. And this movie was much more even successful than The Jazz Singer in its period. But it cemented their reputation as being the studio that actually, you know, had that identity that they're going to take on, you know, tough social issues and, you know, not deal with them in a way that by the end of the film, well, everything's solved, so you can go home and relax. I mean, at the end of this movie, you have the anxiety that this guy, you know, is really screwed by the system. And so if there's going to be any kind of a change, it's going to have to come from those of us that exit into the American night and actually, you know, do something about it. And people did literally write their congressmen in those days. They were men. And Congress, for some strange reason, unbeknownst to us today, how they did it, because it doesn't happen in our era, they actually got together, both sides of the aisle, and they actually enacted legislation that began to address some of the inequities of the system. They didn't extirpate all the problems, but they actually became something that was on their radar because it was such public outrage to something that nobody had any idea this was going on, because it was secretive. It was like behind the scenes. Unless you've been there, you won't know. But this movie exposes it. And again, the daring, the masterstroke is that it has this downbeat, tenebrous ending that, again, nothing is solved. It's actually, it just gets worse for this guy. And I mean, he's a good guy. He's a war hero.